Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday, hey Jude, twist and shout, I want to hold your hand. We all live in a yellow submarine, let it be, Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Sound a little similar, right? Well, in spite of the Decca Recording Company telling the Beatles in 1964 that guitar bands are on their way out, George, John, Paul, and Ringo continued to change the generation with their music. But I think one should be added to that list of the Beatles' best. I think that should be Here Comes the Sun, which first appeared on the Beatles' album, Abbey Road. Here Comes the Sun. That is the theme for today's Old Testament lesson from Malachi 4. And the focus of our Advent message is going to be on the Savior's second coming, that grand finale, that final victory feast of the wedding with the Lamb. Christ came to us in Bethlehem, and He will come again. Malachi longed for the sun. You see, in his time, he lived in the dark days of the Persian Empire, dominating over Judah in the 5th century B.C. And darkness was all-encompassing at that time. Those around Malachi were saying things like, "The Lord's table is despicable." And it's actually in vain to serve God. At the root of all this, then, is the expression in Malachi 2:17, "Where is the God of justice?" So people were saying, "God, you said you would come to right all of our wrongs, take away all of our hurts, all of our pains, to destroy all of our enemies, and to deliver us. But none of this has happened. Where are you?" Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Nothing happens to them. And we know this frustration, don't we? We feel this frustration all the time in our lives. Where is God? Overcome with this kind of cynicism and sarcasm, our devotion life doesn't increase, our prayers don't deepen, and our generosity certainly doesn't grow. We become stagnant. We ask questions like, "God, why do you allow good things to happen to bad people and bad things to happen to good people? Why did you let so-and-so pass away? Why did she leave me?" Instead of growing in our faith, we stop. We cry out to God and ask, "Where is the God of justice?" One time, my friend told me that he and his 5-year-old son were going to the gas station. And he gets out of the car and he takes his son with him, and he takes the tab, he pops open the tab, takes the gas cap off, pays, puts the gas hose into the tank. And his son's watching him, every move that he makes, you know. And the next week, he is outside washing his car with his 5-year-old son. Before he knows it, his son is popping the gas tab, takes off the cap, runs over and gets the garden hose, and puts the hose into the fuel tank, just like Dad, right? And so, as the son's going back to turn the water on, his dad sees him, picks him up, takes the hose out, and foils his son's plan. And that 5-year-old had a drastic misconception. He thought, that, you know, it's a hose, why wouldn't it work? But he didn't realize it took a different kind of hose to put gas into the car. And misconceptions can be humorous, but misconceptions can also be harmful to us as well. In fact, occasionally misconceptions can be fatal. It is a fatal misconception to think that Christ will never return, that he won't keep his promises, that there won't be a victory feast with Christ. It is a fatal misconception to say evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Why is that? Why is it a misconception? Because Malachi says, here comes the Son. The Son will come because God's overwhelming love for his people. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I act for my treasured possession. Treasured possession. That is one of my favorite terms that God uses for how he feels about his people in the Bible. And I think it's one of the most endearing terms that he uses when describing Israel. Even though sometimes it didn't feel valuable, they were still incredibly loved by God and valued by him. These weren't valuable people in the eyes of the world, but still they were loved so much. So much so that God calls them his treasured possession. Even when we don't feel valuable, God calls us his dear and valued treasure possession. We are so valuable that God's heart aches for us until the day when we are able to return to him, when he perfectly restores us and raises us up to be with him forever. Now, the Bible isn't clear about what eternity will look like in the finer details, and it's not 100% clear about what heaven looks like. But what we can be sure of, what we know for sure, is that the future for believers is more glorious than we can possibly imagine. Malachi describes it. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go forth leaping like calves released from a stall. The Son of Righteousness will bring with him a new day. Every hint of darkness will be scattered, every gloom will be gone, every terror and fear that we've had will be banished forever. On that day, our righteous standing through faith will be clear, as clear as the beauty and the brightness of the sun. The Son of Righteousness will also bring healing in his wings. He will restore everything that has been lost. All the pain we felt over the years will be erased. Every tear of disappointment and sadness will be wiped from our eyes. And the symphonies that we miss and the sunsets that we didn't see will be beautifully played over and over again for eternity. There will be healing for people broken by divorce and loss and death. In a twinkling of an eye, Jesus will erase a lifetime of hurt and suffering and brokenness. We will see the Savior born in Bethlehem take up his cross for us. We will see the hands and the feet that took the nails and the head that bore the crown of thorns. We will see the Savior once wrapped in swaddling clothes, who left his burial wrappings behind when he rose from the dead. We will hear the words, "Welcome, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master." And all this will be ours one day, and so much more, more than we can understand or even imagine. Because the Son who once slept in a manger finished his work of salvation for us. Behold, the sky is filled with darkness. There are two thieves dying slowly, one on his left and one on his right. Jesus is in the middle, And as he takes a deep breath, he gives out his last words, which are recorded for us in John. It is finished. The veil of the temple has been torn in two. Jesus' blood has been poured. The curse has been removed. The sacrifice is complete. Death is destroyed, and paradise is restored for eternity. Because the Son of Righteousness rose from the dead on the third day, he will come again with healing in his wings. When the Son of Man comes again, Malachi says, shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. What joy, what exuberance, what gladness, what freedom we will all experience on that day. Critics have denied that Jesus will ever return. Cynics have laughed at the idea about it. Others have tried to explain it away. The brightest and the best in our world think that Jesus' return is just a fairy tale, a myth, or a legend. But the truth still stands, as solid as a rock, and it will soon be fulfilled. On that great day, when Jesus does return, all the faithful will celebrate with joy and with gladness, and us among them, we will shout, we will cry out loud, here comes the Son. Amen.